And God said, now whoever wants to can come into the Holy of Holies and get with me. What was he saying? I'm doing away with all of these old feasts, all of these old rituals, all of these old ordinances, and now you can come into my presence through the blood of Jesus.
Welcome to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire, founder and senior pastor of the exciting Turning Point Church in Fort Worth, Texas. Pastor Jeff brings you powerful biblical messages, along with practical applications that can help you grow in your personal walk with Jesus Christ. So stay tuned and be challenged, be encouraged, and be transformed by the power of the Word of God. Today on Life Talk, we're starting a new message entitled, Don't Let People Judge You, in this exciting series called Christ in Colossians. This is going to be another great study, so stay tuned. To tell us more about today's message, here's Pastor Jeff.
Today we're continuing the series, Christ in Colossians. You know, I think we've all felt the sting of other people judging us. It's such a helpless feeling, knowing that you really can't stop the wagging tongues of others. And it's especially hurtful when others judge you for something the Bible simply does not condemn. Well, Paul understood this when he wrote to the Colossians an encouragement to shake off the unjustified condemnation of others. So let's go to the message called, Don't Let People Judge You, and see what God has to say about this. How many of you have ever been judged by somebody and it didn't feel good? Anybody in here? Here's the better question. Anybody here not been judged? I want to meet you. Not a soul. All right, don't let people judge you. Now, the last time we saw that Jesus canceled the record of charges that were against us, nailing it to the cross. What a powerful truth. And boy, we need a revelation on that, don't we? Not only was our old man crucified with him, we're going to look at that again in just a little bit. Our old man of sin was crucified with Jesus. But also, all of the accusations against us, the record book that Satan had on us, were nailed to the cross with Jesus and done away with. There's a lot of things on that cross we need to understand. Not just Jesus was on the cross. You were on that cross. And your offenses were on that cross. And so he nailed that to the cross. Now we also saw that he made a public spectacle of the devil, triumphing over him before the eyes of the spirit world. He made a spectacle of Satan. Satan was made a fool of. Satan made a huge mistake when he instigated the crowd to crucify Jesus. If Satan tonight could undo anything he's done, he would undo the cross. But guess what? He can't. All right, so he made a spectacle of the enemy. Now this time, Paul is going to further show us what's been shattered by Christ, beginning with unnecessary rules and regulations. I already like the sound of this. Amen? Now let's read together. This is chapter 2 of Colossians, 16 and 17 verses. Let's read. So let no one judge you in food or in drink. That's not talking about whiskey. I'm just making that clear. I heard some of you drinkers go, all right, praise God. No, it's talking about something else. We're going to get to that. Let's start over. Let no one judge you in food or in drink, or regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbaths, which are a shadow of things to come. But the substance is of Christ. Now, what in the world does that mean? Here's the bottom line. The bottom line is what was happening in Colossae is that the Gnostics were seeking to reimpose upon Christian believers the worn-out Jewish religious calendar. The Gnostics, among just being false teachers, misrepresenting and marginalizing the person and the work of Jesus Christ, they were also heavy-handed legalists. And boy, I'll tell you, I love Jesus, but I hate legalism. Legalism drives a lot of people out of church, and I guarantee you, they equate Christianity with a bunch of rules and regulations and legalism. They say, I don't need that, don't want that. They don't understand what Christianity is really about. But now, they were seeking to reimpose upon the believers in that little out-of-the-way church, the Colossian church, the worn-out Jewish religious calendar filled with legalistic rules and regulations that were no longer relevant under the new covenant. Now, let me just talk to you about that a minute. The Jewish year, if you had been in Old Testament times, it moved from feast to feast and from Sabbath to Sabbath. Read about that in Leviticus 23. And from new moon to new moon. That's in 1 Chronicles 23, verse 31. I give you these verses so you can look it up for yourself. But that was the warp and woof of Jewish life, was feasts, Sabbaths, new moons, all of these rituals and regulations and ordinances that they had to keep. Now, they were called holy days, like the feasts, Feast of Pentecost, the Feast of Purim, the Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of a Passover. All of those were holy days, and they were sacred to the Jew, and they are still sacred to Jews today who have not moved into the new covenant and accepted Christ. But the holy days that Paul refers to were the annual religious feasts. New moons referred to monthly celebrations as the moon would change, okay? New moons. All of these special days were primarily related to the nation of Israel and its time in the promised land. They are not relevant to the church age. They're past. And I appreciate all that God did there in the Old Testament. I appreciate the Jewish people. But I got to tell you, when Jesus died on that cross, the veil was rent in half. And God said, now whoever wants to can come into the Holy of Holies and get with me. He ripped that thick, powerful veil top to bottom. What was he saying? I'm doing away with all of these old feasts, all of these old rituals, all of these old ordinances. And now you can come into my presence through the blood of Jesus. Now, so there are certain things that they observe that are no longer relevant to you and to me. Now, for the Christian, here's the news. Every day ought to be a holy day. Not just a few out of the year, but every single day ought to be a holy day. Every single day ought to be a Christmas. Every single day ought to be an Easter. I mean, I don't know about you, but I celebrate the resurrection every day. I talk to a resurrected Savior every morning. I fellowship with him all throughout the day, and I'll be talking to him tonight again when I get home, a resurrected Savior. And he's here with us right now. So today was a holy day for me. Every day is a holy day, holy day. Amen? Now, as for food and drink, the Old Testament mandated a strict adherence to abstinence, for instance, from unclean meats. Let me just put it to you the way you'll understand it. Bacon. Ham. Oink, oink. All that stuff we love to get at IHOP. When we go to IHOP, or forget IHOP, you do it all the time anyway. All right? That was forbidden in Leviticus 11. And this rule, can I say it? No longer applies. Now, I know what you're thinking, because I talk to people who are huge on the Levitical diet. I believe there's some wisdom to the Levitical diet, but what we need to understand is this. You don't have to live in it, and if you do eat oink oink, you have not sinned. I thought at this point some of you would be jumping up and shouting. I really did. Because that's good news. I mean, I don't eat a lot of bacon, but when I do, oh, it's so good. Why is it so good? It's so good. So, what did Paul tell us? Read it with me in 1 Timothy 4:4. Read it, everybody. Every creature of God is what? And nothing is to be refused if what? It's received with thanksgiving. That's the new covenant. In the old covenant, you couldn't eat this, couldn't eat that, couldn't eat anything with the split hoof, and all these different rules and regulations that all passed away with the old covenant. Now we're in the new covenant. So when I went to India, They were eating some very strange things. And you talk about praying hard. That's when you really sanctify your food, when you travel overseas. You say, Lord, you said I could eat it if I receive it with thanksgiving. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Sanctify it. You ought to be praying that way when you go through McDonald's. I'm sorry. I'll get email from somebody in McDonald's management on that one. I'm going to move right along. No telling what's in that Whopper. The Jewish dietary laws, I know that's Burger King, I know, but they're all the same. Do you hear? Listen to the fast food aficionados in here. That's not McDonald's, that's Burger King. You know your fast food, don't you? Now, the Jewish dietary laws were one of the instruments that effectively kept Jews and Gentiles apart. Why did God give them those laws? It kept Jews and Gentiles apart because that was God's Old Testament plan. He did not want Jewish men, for instance, marrying foreign women. So God gave laws that kept the Jews and the Gentiles apart. One of them was these dietary laws, because the Gentiles were eating anything. But the Jews couldn't. But this division is done away with in Christ. We are no longer separated that way. Look what Paul said in Ephesians 2:14. For he himself is our peace, who has made both Jew and Gentile one. If you're washed in the blood, I don't care if you're Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, I don't care Pentecostal, AG, I don't care which Anglican priest. If you're washed in the blood and you love my Jesus and fellowship with him, you're my brother, you're my sister, and it doesn't matter if you're Jew or Gentile, we have been made one. And what does it say? He broke down the middle wall of separation between people. Jesus is the great reconciler. Now, chapter 2, verse 18, Paul goes on. He says, I don't want you to let anybody cheat you out of your reward, taking delight in false humility and worship of angels, intruding into things they have not even seen. They're talking about stuff they don't even know what they're talking about because they haven't seen what they're talking about. He's talking about people full of hot air, trying to bring you in bondage to things and teach you to worship things that they themselves have not even seen. You can't give what you don't have. Intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. Now here's what Paul was driving at. The Gnostic cult was acting very humble, but it was a fake humility. It was phony humility. It was pretense. And they were also entering into forbidden realms of the occult, encouraging the worship of angels, which Scripture forbids. They were saying, we've seen angels and we're encouraging you to worship these angels that we have seen. Paul is saying, they've seen no such thing. They're full of hot air. They're telling you about spiritual experiences they haven't had. And they're trying to lead you into worshiping something they don't know anything about. Now, I'm going to tell you, church, we are to worship one thing. As a matter of fact, let's look at it. Never are we to worship angels. Now, these people say, well, I got up this morning and was walking across my room and an angel appeared. And we sat down and had a talk. No, you didn't. I'm going to tell you how I know that. Because a real angel, you are on your face. Every time I read about it in the Bible, from Mary to anybody you want to pick, Daniel, any who had these visitations of angels, they were on their face at the mighty, awesome, even frightening appearance of these incredible beings. But look what happened. When John saw an angel, I, John, saw and heard these things, and when I heard and saw, I fell down to do what? Worship before the feet of the angel who showed me these things. So what is he doing? He's worshiping the angel. And then the angel said to me, see that you do not do that. For I'm your fellow servant and of your brethren, the prophets, and of those who keep the words of this book. What was his last two words? Worship God and him only. God is the only one that we are to ever worship. Not only are we not to worship angels, but the first commandment is clear. We're never to worship anything or anyone other than the living God. That's the first of the Ten Commandments. That includes, can I go where angels fear to tread? That includes the Virgin Mary or any other human spiritual leader. Never are we to worship anyone but God. And of course, Jesus was and is God. And don't forget that one of the marks of evil spirits and of Satan himself is they do want you to worship them. When you get into the occult realm, especially in the 70s, when I began to minister and got out there and began to minister to a lot of young people who were coming out of the occult, and we encountered a lot of demon spirits in people, seriously, who had been really deep into the occult, they told me one of the things that we would do is we would worship the devil. Why? Because the devil, Satanism, leads you into the worship of the devil. See, that's why Satan hates the worship of Christ. Because he used to be the chief worshiper. And he's lost it. And he'll never get it back. I love worship. I thrive on worship. Listen, I love nights when we worship until we drop. I worship God all the time alone. I'm not saying, you know, aren't I spiritual or doing anything like that. I do it because I am learning to practice the presence of God. And I've learned that when I worship just by myself, anywhere, anytime, the worship of God begins to fill the place. And I begin to fellowship with the Lord. And I stir up the gift of God that is within me by worship. But see, Satan used to be the chief worshiper, and he's lost it. So now he's trying to steal away from God what is only due God. And so we would see demons coming out of these young people, crying out that had gotten into their life from worshiping the devil. The devil wants that worship. He's a thief. He's a liar, and he's a murderer. Matthew 4, 8 through 11, he even had the gall to try to get the Son of God to worship him. Again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain, Matthew records, and showed him, that is Jesus, all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. And what did the Son of God say? Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan! For it is written, read it with me, everybody, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Give the Lord a hand of praise tonight. Amen. Him only. Him only. And so you can't worship a person, a politician, somebody with a lot of charisma, a spiritual leader. You don't worship anybody. We respect people, but we don't worship people. We worship the living God. And boy, when you learn how to worship God, listen, it was when I learned to worship God that I experienced the call of God. In the presence of worship, he called me. Then the devil left him. I like that. The devil boogied. He got out of there. And what happened? Real angels came and ministered to Jesus when he refused to worship the devil. Don't let anybody cheat you with this nonsense, Paul says. All right? Now, verse 19, not holding fast to the head, from whom all the body, nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments, grows with the increase that is from God. Spiritual growth comes from God. Now, what does he mean, ligaments and joints? Ligaments are fibrous tissue gathered together as cords or bands. They hold your organs in place. They hold your guts in place. Or they fasten bones together. And those ligaments are as strong as a rope. Joints comes from a word meaning to bind, to fasten with chains. What is Paul telling us using those two analogies? He's saying both of these words speak to the body of Christ being securely fastened together as long as Jesus is the head. And how do you cleave to Jesus? Well, we cleave to Jesus in our faith, but I got to say this tonight, church. Something very, very troubling is happening in many parts of the body of Christ in the West, in America. We are leaving this word. We're laying it aside, and we're allowing ourselves to be shaped and conformed by the world to the world instead of shaped and conformed by God into the likeness of Christ. And see, how do we keep him as the head? One way is this is the word of God. Now, some people would hear me say that and say, well, he's pretty stupid. He's not educated. He's kind of one of these backwoods southern preacher types that have never really studied, emotion-driven and not logic-driven, because anybody who really thinks knows that that can't be the word of God, every word. That's what unintelligent, uneducated people think. But I got to tell you, it's what Jesus thought. Now, tell me Jesus was uneducated, unintelligent. Tell me that Jesus didn't know what he was doing. Jesus validated Moses. He validated Abraham. He validated the flood. He validated Sodom and Gomorrah. He validated Jonah and the whale. He validated the word of God over and over and over again. And you're going to tell me that he was stupid or ignorant, uneducated? He was the most brilliant mind to ever walk the earth. And he said, it is written. And that's how he defeated the devil. He cleaved to this word, hugged this word. He wrote this word. How do we keep Jesus as the head? We follow the word of God and the God of the word. And as long as we stay with the word of God and the God of the word, he's the head. And when he's the head, we are fed. When he's the head, we are fed. Look what he says. Our head, Jesus Christ, what does he do? Nourishes us into abundance. As a result, we grow with the increase that only God can give. Jesus said in John 15, abide in me and let my words abide in you, for apart from me, you can do nothing. That means in terms of spiritual growth, spiritual maturity, salvation, anything that comes from God apart from Jesus, we can do nothing. But in him, through him, by him, we can do all things. And we grow as we abide in him. And as he does over and over, Paul brings the believers, and that's us, back to Jesus Christ. He's a broken record. I want you to get back to Jesus. You Christians there in Colossae, get back to Jesus. Quit listening to this high-sounding cultic nonsense and get back to Jesus. He's the head. You're the body. He'll feed you. You will grow if you abide in him. He calls on us to hold to the head, which is Christ, the head of the church. Let me say this again. The Pope is not the head of the church. No man is the head of the church. Jesus is the head of the church. Now, we got to get a firm, unshakable grip on this truth, lest we be moved from the simplicity of the faith that is in Jesus Christ in these days of almost overwhelming deception. He says in chapter 2, verse 20 through 22 now, therefore, if you died with Christ from the basic principles of the world, why, as though living in the world, do you subject yourself to regulations?
We hope you were blessed by Pastor Jeff's message. We're so glad to have you with us today. Here at Life Talk, we want to stay connected with you and help equip and encourage you in your walk with the Lord. If you would like to receive e-devotionals and ministry updates from Pastor Jeff, visit our website at lifetalkradio.us. That's lifetalkradio.us. From there, you can sign up to receive this exclusive Life Talk listener email. When you sign in for the first time, we'll send you a free gift as a thank you for being a devoted Life Talk listener. So go to lifetalk.us and sign up for a free e-devotional today. To get a copy of today's message or this entire sermon series, give us a call toll-free at 877-884-3111. That's 877-884-3111. Our friendly staff will be standing by to assist you and even offer you a special discounted price so you can get your own copy of your favorite message or the entire sermon series from Pastor Jeff. This is our way of thanking you for your unwavering support for Life Talk. Once again, the number is 877-884-3111. Or visit our website at lifetalkradio.us for more information. You've been listening to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. Join us again next time for the continuation of this message entitled, Don't Let People Judge You, in this series called Christ in Colossians. Thank you for listening today. We look forward to being with you again here on Life Talk Radio. Until then, God bless.